Hey, I just want to say thank you to everybody working this morning, everybody giving and sharing and willing to help us see the Lord more clearly. I hope you are seeing the Lord more clearly today. It is an amazing and humbling thing to recognize the power of the voice of the Lord like Tony called us to. And it is a powerful and humbling thing to realize the lengths that God would go to send His Son to die for our sins. And it is a powerful and humbling thing to sing praises to the God who did not have to make us. He needs nothing from us. We don't add to Him. But He's so good and so full of love, He makes us exist just for the chance that we might figure it out and enjoy the purpose of life. God is good. God is good. And I'm so glad that you're here today. I'm glad that you're here today. So, my job today is to continue those good vibes and not get in the way and just help you continue to see clearly who our Heavenly Father is and how we can better serve Him. Because He deserves all glory. He deserves all praise. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven. We're just going to start out this morning and say, Happy Father's Day. You deserve it. Because you are our Father. And you are good. And you love us so much. And you've given us every good gift from heaven. Father, we are in awe. We are excited and humbled and just overjoyed at all of the love and gifts and blessings that you have given us. Thank you for today. Thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to come together and give back to you what's in our hearts. Our praise and our worship. Blessed be your name. And Father, today we're going to take a look at your Son. We've discerned His body and His sacrifice around His table. And now we're going to take a look at the words that He spoke. The eternal words given to us. And we're going to take a look at ourselves. And we're going to take a look at what you have told us. Father, I pray that we will be humble in our reception. I pray if there's an area of our life that needs to be more like Jesus, that we will be true to you and that we'll just fix it. Father, you're our beginning, you're our end, and you are our journey there. Thank you. We pray through the name of our Lord, our Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, been read for us a part of Jesus' sermon. And the thing that you notice just from the beginning of His ministry is how radical His message is. I mean, just how far out there His idea is to know God and to follow God and to serve God. And so we see part of this message in Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus tells, just like Ben pointed out, anyone who will listen, Jesus tells us that we do not consider ourselves good by comparing ourselves to others. Now, we're all guilty of this, and we know it. Because every single one of us can find somebody not doing as well as we are, right? We can all just, I mean, in this room, you can throw your coffee cup and hit somebody not doing as good as you. It's not that hard. It's what we call low-hanging fruit. It's very easy to point fingers. Go, ha-ha, at least I'm not them. Well, I'm doing better than they are. Whoo, I know I got it together better than they do. And Jesus says, no. That's not your standard. Our standard is not to outdo one another in righteousness. Our standard is to look at our Father in heaven and see what He does. And then use that as our guide. That's a radical message. That is an absolutely radical message. Because as, you know, as God's people were used to doing, and they had the law, they had everything that God told them to do, not to do, and they were doing it, so they thought. They were doing it. But they were doing it so well that when God showed up, they didn't even recognize Him. When God showed up, incognito, they didn't recognize Him. Now, this is one of those, you've seen those churches where the preacher dresses up like a homeless person, sits outside the church building, and everybody walks by him, or, you know, object lesson. That's what Jesus did. That is what Jesus did. He showed up looking just like everybody else. He suppressed His glory, put all of God in a body just like us, and showed up and said, here's the truth, but you got to have faith to accept it. Well, all of God's people, they're used to hearing the rules. They're used to saying, yeah, I need to stay away from that. And no, we don't eat that. We don't associate with those people. We don't go there. We don't do that. And Jesus comes along, and at the end of Matthew chapter 5, He says, hey, congratulations. You're no better than the heathens. I mean, you know by now, we've studied the Gospels enough, you know why people got so mad at Jesus, right? I mean, if I sat up here today and called you out by name, pointed my finger at you and said, hey, this, this, and this in your life is the reason why God's not happy with you, how do you think you'd respond? I got a pretty good idea you wouldn't come forward at the invitation song and ask for forgiveness. I don't know, that's just 20 years preaching experience here at Sunrise Church of Christ. But we don't like to hear those things. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me I'm not doing things the way they're supposed to be doing. Right? Make me feel good about how I'm doing things. That was last Sunday. I hope you were here. Lee, sorry you guys were out of state. Last week we felt good about what we're doing. This week we got to look at the words of Jesus. And He hits hard. He hits hard. So, what Jesus is doing to a people who are absolutely, because they were used to it, and the heart of God's law was so geared towards don't do this, don't eat that, don't. It's how we raise our kids. Right? I mean, we let our kids free range. They're doing pretty good. We don't have to dictate every activity that they do. But if they do something, I mean, if they're running towards traffic, we get involved, right? Don't! Don't touch that. Don't eat that. Woohoo! We don't say that word. I mean, it's how we're parented. And our little kids get it. And so we get that ingrained. And so we start to get the same idea about God that, oh, all God wants to do is just keep me from having any fun. God just wants to limit. He's trying to protect you. Did your parents not try to protect you when you were little? Right? Unless you had, you know, some of those parents who were like, let's see how this turns out. Some of those parents have sat back and go, that's going to scar, I'm pretty sure. But God doesn't do that. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, we get this idea. And this is what we're going to explore today, is that the radical nature of love that God has called us to do, that we no longer view the world as don't do. Church, you and I are called to do. You and I are called to do. And today we're going to see what. So, if you want to be children of God, and this one hit me hard as I was studying, again, as Ben read it, look at 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. And again, you know, love those who are close to you. You don't have to love your enemies quite as much if you take the literal translation of the word. And that's a high standard of itself. Hate just means love less. He says, you know, I'm going to say to you in verse 44 to go ahead and love your enemies. Yeah, just go ahead and love them too. You already love your friends. You already love your family. You already love those people who are close to you. You love those people who are nice to you. You love those people who look out for you. You're great at loving all those people. You and every other heathen in all of creation. You're all fantastic at that mark. Way to go. And Jesus says, I'm going to go ahead and need you to love your enemies. Because that is what makes you children of your Father in heaven. All right, I've already got to turn the other cheek. If they sue me for $100, I got to give them $120. If they require me to go out of my way to help them, then I'm going to go the extra mile. But now you want me to love my enemies and treat them as good as I do my loved ones. Now, you can imagine this mixed crowd sitting there listening to Jesus going, what? What? And Jesus says, do you want to be children of your Father in heaven? Because that's how your Father in heaven treats all of you. Well, give us an example. Really? Do you appreciate rain? Because guess what? God just lets it rain. He doesn't just go to the Parks house and say, here's a rain shower. Oh, but we know those people over there. Mm-mm, they don't get any. No, he sends rain to the good and the bad. Oh, yeah, the sun that came up this morning, I don't know how many of you were there to appreciate it, came up for everybody. That's how God treats his children. And he says, if you want to be, and again, he finishes it with the word perfect, complete, okay? We see perfect and we see without blemish. It's complete. You want to be complete? You really want to be children of your Father in heaven. That's how you love other people too. In other words, when I am doing good for others, it doesn't matter who the others are. I'm just going to do good for others. Well, I'm going to go out of my way for Bill because he's my brother. And if you ever notice, he's about the only human that I give a hug to on a weekly basis. Bill and I hug. I don't hug. I don't need hugs. But we hug. And Bill calls me and says, Michael, we're stuck. We need something. You bet, Bill. And that person that cut me off on the loop to get to Bill's house, they said, hey, I'm stuck. I need your help. Whatever. And Jesus says, no, no, no. That guy, he deserves the same love as Bill does. And you can imagine, this is starting to get radical, right? This is starting to get crazy. This is a crazy definition of love. Well, let's go to James, because James really this morning is going to help us just better understand this. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, as we learn to be children of our Father in heaven, not by our standard of, I'm a good Christian because I don't do this, I don't do that, I avoid that, I stay away from that. That's not our standard. The standard of a good Christian is, I do this. I do that. I go out of my way for this. I help them. I love, I forgive, I show mercy. You know what? You're going to get to the point, and again, I think this is the point, that all of this talk of brothers and friends and enemies, that if you treat everybody the same, you no longer have enemies. Oh, they may hate me. Guess what? Don't care. Because really, at the end of the day, does it matter if someone loves me or hates me? Does it matter? Does it change how I'm going to sleep tonight? Newsflash. It does not. I got one person that I'm concerned about is going to give me sweet dreams or not. Nobody else has that power. But what do? We ascribe power to our enemies. They can get under our skin. They drive us crazy. They make us angry. They make us sad. They make us broken. And we give them the power that should only go to God. Do you realize how much glory we give to other people? I mean, we sit here and sing about to God be the glory. And then when you lose your cool and act less than Jesus to some clown on the street, guess what you just did? To that clown be the glory. Because you just went to their level. And you glorified them by acting like them. And crazy Jesus comes along and says, not good enough. Not today. James chapter 3. Check this out. Whew, getting warm in here yet? Yeah, it's starting to, isn't it? It's not just this suit. It's the words of God. James chapter 3. Go down with me to verse 13. So who is wise and understanding among you? You a smarty pants? You like to think of yourself that way, huh? Let him show it by his good conduct. His works in the meekness of wisdom. We don't usually equate wisdom with meekness, but that's what it is. You want to be wise? Show me how you're living. Show me your good works. Your good works in humility. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. But is earthly, unspiritual. Oh, go ahead. I'll let you. Demonic wisdom is wisdom that puffs you up above other people. That's from Satan. I mean, just so we're clear, right? Yeah. Ugh. I hate it when God defines things, right? When God defines things, it just really messes with my religion. Verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Jealousy and selfish ambition. I'm jealous of what you have. And I'm looking to exalt myself of what I have. And James says, yeah, that's where all the evil exists. Oh. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Our wisdom is seen in our good works. We are not in competition with others. That is not the goal. Okay? That's not the goal. Our goal is to make peace with others. How do you make peace with others? You love them. You forgive them. Yeah, but they hurt my feelings. Great. Gives you another opportunity to be like Jesus today. Show them mercy. Well, not them. That's too far. Okay. Then you're not acting like a child of your father? Can we go so far as, I mean, did Jesus say, when you do these things, you will be children of your Father in heaven? Or did he say, if you do these things, you'll look like children of your Father in heaven? I'm just letting Jesus define the terms. You and I got to struggle with it. Okay? He continues in James chapter 4, verse 1. So, what's the real problem, he asks? I mean, what are you really struggling with? What really keeps you from living your life like Jesus? Here it is. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions or your pleasures, those things that make you happy, cranky, sad, whatever, your passions are at war within you. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak evil against one another. Brothers and sisters, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Whew. All right. Where do our problems come from? They come from in here. They come from in here. I want something, I don't have it. And even if I remember to turn to the Lord and ask for it, he says, guess what? You're not going to get it because God's not going to give you something just to exalt your own pleasures and passions. God's not going to give you something that's going to destroy you. So you got to make a choice and you have to understand, do you belong to God or do you belong to the world? Which is it? Do you not know that the Spirit of God dwells in you and he yearns jealously over it? It's his. The Spirit of God that's within us, it doesn't belong to us. It's his. And he has chosen to forgive us of our sins, to wipe us clean, and to live here. But him living here means I have to do the upkeep. I have to do the weed pulling. I got to take care of the lawn. I got to take care of the structure. I got to take care of it. It's his. It's his. And he's allowed me to take care of it. All right, so if I understand these things, he gives me this encouragement and says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, you and I read that and go, yeah, I'm good at that. I'm good at resisting the devil. But see, here's the thing, because James is going to come in with it's going to be a sucker punch, I promise. It's coming. Because you and I look at that and go, oh, I'm pretty good at that. I know how to resist the devil. I stay away from this bad thing. I stay away from that bad thing. I avoid that evil. I avoid that sin. I'm good at resisting the devil. But see, the thing about it is, are we also, or have we become good at resisting doing the good to everyone? That's what James is talking about. When we resist the devil's the one telling us they don't deserve to be treated well. The devil's the one telling us you're better than them, do not serve them. The devil is the one who has convinced us that God is super happy with you because you got all your religion right and you avoid all those dirty, sinful things. You're A-okay. That's the devil. That is not God. That is not God. Because Jesus back there said, oh, you want to belong to God? Then act like God. And how does God act? Take a look at the rain. Your dirty neighbor's got some too. Take a look at the sunshine that you're enjoying this afternoon. Oh, but it's so hot. No, the sun's shining. The sun's shining and you're drawing breath. Guess what? That nasty heathen receives the same gift from God. And you want to be like God? Then you treat your friends and your enemies the same. Because that's what God does. Well, that's just too far. Well, I guess you're not resisting the devil enough, are you? You've given in. Because it's the devil who tells you, you don't serve them. You don't have to be good to them. I mean, he didn't mean them. Or he didn't mean go out of your way that much, because you got plans. You got a life. You got a family. I think he covered that in the first verses that Ben read, right? Yeah. Oh, Bible's hard. Well, he doesn't stop there. Here it is. You ready for it? Ready for the punchline? Gotta love the punchline. I do. Let's pick it up in verse 13. James finishes this section with two declarations of evil. And I assure you, these are both difficult, okay? Janet, you'll appreciate our discussion last week. He's coming in hot. You ready? Okay. Two declarations of evil. These are two things that are evil. And if it's evil, I know enough by now that I should probably stay away from these things, right? Is that fair? Good. We're on the same page. All right, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, when you say, Lord willing, help me out. What do you think of? Thank you. For those of you who haven't been here long enough, Jamie Payton. That guy wouldn't leave the auditorium and go to the kitchen if the Lord wasn't willing, all right? That's how faithful he was to this. I'm not that faithful to this. I need to be more faithful to this. James says, the Bible says, to make assumptions about tomorrow is evil. Now, what does that mean? I can't plan on going to work tomorrow? Woo! Means I can't assume that tomorrow's going to happen. I can plan for it. I can be ready for it. I mean, I'm ready for eternity. I don't know if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. I don't know if he's coming back Wednesday. I don't know if he's coming back next year. I don't know. But I'm ready. I'm ready. But I can't say, oh yeah, next quarter we have these projections, or we're going to do this, or in the fall we're going to move here, or we're going to... He says, no, you're boasting about your life. You don't control your life. God controls your life. So you know what? I will receive in thanksgiving whatever God has planned for me. And if it is the Lord's will, then we will be moved from this house to that by spring. Or if it is the Lord's will, I will be at this projection or that job. Whatever. Don't boast about your life. And again, this is... Because those of us who've been here a while, we listen to Jamie. Why is he always saying that? Why is he always just saying, Lord willing? He was trying to keep himself from boasting because he took it seriously. Because the Bible says, that's evil. That's evil. Now, that was easy pill. Okay? Show of hands, who read ahead? Oh, good. Good. Here we go. Together now. This is jagged pill. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Oh, you have got to be kidding me. If I know the right thing to do, and I don't do it, that is sin. Now, do you see what I'm talking about? How the law convinced us to don't. And Jesus comes along and says, do. It is a positive outlook. Once we submit to God, once we admit that God is in charge of my life, it's not mine. It is His Spirit that dwells in me. It is the part of Him that lives in me that's going to last forever. So that's the part I'd like to learn how to satisfy. Because the rest of it doesn't matter. As much as I want it to matter, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I have been taught the good, and now I know that the good that I have been taught gets, what's the right word? Distributed evenly. If I fail to do it, that's evil. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 5. James just echoed it. He just, you know, some of us are slow. He just said it in a different way. Same idea. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, I see someone in trouble. Yeah, someone else will take care of that. Someone says, hey, mister, can you spare $5? Not for you. I mean, you plug in your own example, right? Because I'll be here all day if I'm just pointing fingers at all the ways this last week in which you and I knew the right thing to do. When I take the person and who they are out of the equation, what's the right thing to do? And how many times I just didn't do the right thing? I didn't jump into any sinful thing. But boy, I missed a lot of opportunities to do the right thing, didn't I? Yeah. I told you this was a tough one. It is a tough one. But this is what Jesus says, and this is how children of our Father in heaven live their lives. So this is our challenge, that verse right there. This week, I'm just going to go out and I'm just going to do good. I know what's good. How do you know what's good? Well, whether your parents taught you or not, Jesus teaches you. I've seen him. You've seen him. You believe in him enough to follow him. Enough to walk in his steps, enough to accept his salvation and his lordship and his example. So you and I go out this week and we're just gonna do good. We know the good to do and we can no longer say, I don't have time. I don't have energy. I don't have resources. No, we have everything. God has given us everything. Then he wants to know, will you be my children and do what I do? Because I bless the good and the bad. Will you do that? I take care of those who love me, and guess what? I take care of those who don't. Now, do not fall into the trap of, well, yeah, but what about those people going to hell? We read it, right? You read it too. I'm not making stuff up. It's not our place to judge. We don't do that. He will. But see, while you and I are so worried about the people that are going to go to hell, we need to be worried about if we're going to go to heaven. Okay? Let's just make it clear. We are so concerned about all the lost and, oh yeah, God will get them. I've read the Gospels. I know how big a camel is. You parse it however you want. I've seen an eye of a needle. Both on a sewing machine and, you know, in that arch of the gateway. Whatever. Living like Jesus is not easy. But see, God does something amazing for us. And I'm going to close it out here because this is fun. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I know the good to do. I got to do it. Because if I don't, that is evil. And God is not too excited about evil. Doesn't make him happy. And if all I'm doing is the evil, and if I'm not doing any of the good, will I even be recognized in my father's family? I mean, do I look like him? Do I have, you know, the Jesus, the nose? What do you think of what are they called? Your traits, your genetic traits that are handed down from generation to generation, right? I look at Alyssa. I know whose daughter Alyssa is. That's very easy, right? Yes. There it is. Same thing with us. When our Father in heaven looks at us, is he going to see himself? Are we going to reflect his glory? Is he going to look at us and say, oh, I know who mine are because they look like me? Galatians chapter 5. And here's the good news. The Apostle Paul lets us know, hey, here's how we're going to do this. Because this is radical and it's not easy. And for those of us who have convinced ourselves that this avoiding the don't do list is good enough for God, we fall into that trap and we make a house there. We live there. And being called out of that, it's rough. It is rough going from don't do all these bad things to do all these good things. It's a whole new way of looking at life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Now, you know this, all right? You know these words. These are not new words, but I want you to hear the word of God in light of what we just read from James chapter 4. Okay? Ready, set? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you and I just stop right there and go, yay, that's not us. Right? It's a don't do mentality. We don't look like the flesh. We're winning. But the Bible has a way of not stopping, right? Keeps going. There's always another verse. And the next verse says, here's what doing looks like. I'm in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And I love this one. I'd underline it. Against these things, there is no law. You don't need rules when you're doing good to everyone like your Father in heaven. You catch that? You don't need a bunch of rules of don't do this and do this. Guess what? If it's good, do it. If it's good, do it. Would Jesus do it? And so should I. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. All those things that are going to war inside of me, I've put them down. I've plugged them up. Done. I'm not going to fight with Jesus anymore. I'm just going to submit to God. I'm tired of fighting with Jesus. You ever get tired of fighting with Jesus? I know the good to do, but I can find so many reasons of why I don't do it. I'm tired. You guys ever get tired? Yeah, life sometimes just makes you tired. I don't have any energy to do the good. Right? And then I start looking at people. They don't deserve the good. You get on that neighborhood, you think 91 is hot. Here it is. Don't fool yourself into being satisfied thinking that your Father in heaven is just, you're one of his MVPs, when all you can point to is, I don't do that, I don't do that, I don't do that, I don't do that, I am good. Church, we have to start. Everyone we encounter, our every day, our entire lives, we've been crucified with Christ. We do not serve the flesh anymore. We live by the Spirit. We live by the rule that we hope to embody for all eternity. Amen? Amen! I live today by the rule that I hope to embody for all eternity. That's all it is. Would God treat someone like this, like what I just did? What I just said? Would God walk to the other side of the road to invoke? Because I can just tell they're going to be trouble, or they're going to want $5. Would God walk to the other side of the street? Or would he see what they needed? Bind them up, take them to the hospital, pay their bill. Who are we serving? Whose children are we? I got to be honest with you. I want zero surprises when Jesus comes back. I do not want surprises on that day. Lord willing, whenever it comes, I do not want surprises on that day. And that's why I'm so passionate about talking about this. Because I don't want you to experience any surprises on that day too. Because everybody sitting in this room, surprises on that day cannot be good. Right? We're all on the same page there. None of us need to be surprised on Judgment Day. I mean, where are you going? I'm going with my Father. How do you know? Because I've spent all these years with him. Why should it stop now? Now, as difficult as that was, you got to admit it was fun, right? It's got to be fun. Because if it's not fun, you and I are not going to do what Jesus calls us to do. It is radical, it is crazy, and it's going to require more faith than anything else in our lives to just be like God and love everybody. So, let's aim for that this week. You might not hit it, but boy, you'll know if you don't. And if you know the good to do and you don't do it, your heart will be convicted and said, I should have done that. Or, you know what, I'm going to fix that. Because this is who I am. I want my Father's nose. I want my daddy's ears. I want my daddy's heaven.